Coming up, we're going to talk about the proven way to build trust with people as we look at something we all deal with, and that's hypocrisy, the four types, and what we can do about it. Let's go. All right, this is the Ken Colbert Show, where we help you grow personally so that you can advance professionally. And then if you keep advancing professionally, I promise you this, you're going to have to learn how to lead effectively. And so we want you winning in your work life. That's what we're about. And so we're going to take on something today that is in that lane of personal growth. If I'm working harder on me than I am my job, good things are going to happen. And the converse is something we need to think about today, and that is, if I'm not growing, if I'm not getting better as a person, I am limiting my potential professionally. And so we're going to talk about something today that I found was really interesting. I read a lot. I like to dig into stuff. And so I'm not an expert on this, but boy, am I diving in, and am I applying this to my own personal life? I am. I think it's going to challenge all of us today. So the question today is, who's the biggest hypocrite you know? Just giving you a minute to chew on that one. Now, you're listening or watching me wherever you are, however you are. But I think it's important to have some fun with this by simply filling in the blank. Who's the biggest hypocrite you know? And we could kind of broaden this a little bit. And maybe you don't know him personally. Well, who do you think the biggest hypocrite in the world is? Oh, boy, here comes the... Now, that's going to get it flowing. Now, obviously, I think all of you had some names pop up right away. Some of you maybe had somebody pop up that's in your life. Ouch. I'm sorry about that, but we're going to make that make sense in a moment. Some of you thought about somebody, maybe a politician. Oh, boy. We're not going to go there too much today. We are going to touch on that. Because I think we can all unite around the fact that politicians have got to be the biggest hypocrites on the planet. Just look at their approval ratings. It's hysterical. And by the way, approval ratings just on Congress is like all-time low. It's like the lowest professional role in America. So we the people basically don't like any of our politicians across the board, right? And so history has a way of shining the light on a lot of hypocrites. Now, I want you to be provoked right now, not offended. So I want some of you to realize that I'm going to bring up an example right now, and it's not to hate. It's just bringing up an example of how hypocrisy ruined the career and the legacy of a politician. Okay? So, one of my personal favorites on how hypocrisy pops up when we don't mean it, and we're going to really break this down today, but the guy that stands out to me as I begin to think about it from my lifetime is George Herbert Walker Bush. Okay. And at the Republican National Convention in 1988, I'm just going to take you back. Okay. 1988, he's been Ronald Reagan's vice president for 8 years. Now he's going to get the nomination, and he gets up to make his keynote address to accept the nomination. And the big soundbite that came from his acceptance speech was a campaign promise. Then it was a strong moment. Those of you who are my age or a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger, may have seen this. For those of you that are younger, he basically looks at the camera, and I should have had you guys pull the clip. And if you guys can pull it and use it, great. We don't have to. But this is what he does. He looks at the camera. I mean, he looks at the teleprompter, and he makes a strong moment. And it's probably one of the strongest moments of his political career. And this is what he said. Read my lips. It's my best impression I can do. No new taxes. And the crowd goes wild, right? I mean, it's red meat for a Republican convention. I thought it was fantastic, and I was 14. That was it. And it was all over the news. It was everywhere the next day, the next week, the next month, all the way through Election Day. Read my lips. No new taxes. I mean, hey, listen, that is a bold statement. By the way, I like it. Just in case anybody cares, I hate taxes. I hate them. So, what happens? About 2 years later, he compromised. and he signed a bill that raised Americans' taxes. Boom. And it was over. From that moment on, he had zero chance of beating Bill Clinton or any other Democrat, in my opinion. Because it was the singular thing that he said, and he was so emphatic, and it was so clear, and it was so widely reported, and it was like, he looked at the American people, and he said, trust me. That's essentially what he was saying. Read my lips. No new taxes. And so he failed. He failed. He was not reelected. It tanked his chances. You know, later on, as they began to get into the campaign, he was talking about this and that and this and that, and they just kept holding him to it. Oh, you said you weren't going to raise taxes. And it just, it crushed him. So he's running for re-election, and all the Democrats did, and they did the right thing. They just reminded him of that vow and that you didn't do it. And it was over. And so what is the reason for me sharing that story? Because hypocrisy can ruin our credibility. Now, it's also possible to get it back. But in this political context, it ruined a good man's credibility. Now, I got some bad news. That can be good, but right now it's bad news. All of us are hypocrites on some level. We're going to talk today about how to minimize the gap between what we say and what we do. Because in that gap, that's where hypocrisy comes up, and it can really hurt us. It can damage relationships. It can damage reputations. The gap between what we say and what we do. Because when we do that, watch, we become the most untrustworthy or the most trustworthy people in the room. It just happened. It just, if we can get better to where we say, you know, this is what I say I'm going to do, and I believe in what I'm saying, and I'm going to do it, we become some of the most trustworthy people on the planet because so few people do it. But very quickly, we can go from being trustworthy to the most untrustworthy person in a relationship. Uh-oh. Hello. And in the office. Now, here's the reason this matters. Trust is the currency of progress. So I want you all to see your potential and meet your potential professionally because it's a huge part of your life. It's the whole reason I do this show. I believe we were created to work. Genesis chapter 2. If you're new to the show, you want to know why I believe what I believe, here we go. Genesis chapter 2, we were created to work. We spend more time at work than we do anything else in our lives, most of us. And to spend all that time not doing something that you're good at, something that you enjoy, something that produces results that mean something deeply to you, is to live a life of regret, to live a life that is not as meaningful as we would desire. That's why we do what we do. And so to that end, trust, us being trustworthy, is the currency, or I could say it is the fuel for our growth. Our growth is limited when we aren't trustworthy. It's just that simple. And so we were talking in a meeting, and we started talking about this idea of we're all hypocrites, so nobody gets out of this deal without being hypocritical. But it begs the question, why are so many of us guilty of or victims of our own hypocrisy? So why is it that we do it when we hate it with everybody else? I mean, when I opened up, when I started the show today, I said, I wanted you to think of, who do you think is the biggest hypocrite you know? And the reason is I wanted to get you emotionally to a place where you're going, because all of us have some disdain for someone who we think is a hypocrite, and we're putting a real label on them. In other words, they live that way, or someone who has been hypocritical to us, and oh my goodness, a friend, a spouse, a coworker, a boss. Hello, a boss. Oh my gosh, the boss. The boss is such a hypocrite. This gal, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. Come on. I got studio audience members that are laughing. Somebody feels that pain. I get it, right? So here's the deal. Coming up next, why are we all so susceptible to hypocrisy? Why? And then what do we do about it? Oh, we're going to learn together today. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So, are you an introvert or are you an extrovert? And I think the world has been unfairly built towards the extroverts. And I'm an extrovert, so I can say that, right? And an extroverted world can be energy sapping for an introvert. And we all have different batteries, if you will, social batteries. And it's okay. There's no right. There's no wrong. But this is important. Your social battery needs to stay at a healthy level or else you get burned out. And you get burned out, that affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and it can really affect you in your professional growth. So it's important that you know what your social battery is and then how to recharge if a lot of the work activities you do drain you. I want you to think about starting therapy with BetterHelp. BetterHelp is flexible to fit into your schedule because it's completely online. It's super easy to get started with just a short questionnaire that then matches you with a licensed therapist. This is my favorite part. They allow you to switch therapists at any time for no extra cost because you got to find your person. So I want you to find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Ken today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Ken.
Why are we so hypocritical? Oh my gosh, Ken, what's with the dark topic today, man? Couldn't you gone a little lighter today? How about how to cast a vision, man? How to be more... Why are we taking this on? Because I... Listen, candidly, as I'm raising kids, and as I'm committed to just growing personally, I just look at this and I go, this is not about being the jerk hypocrite. This is about something deeper. And so we're having a little bit of fun with, I think we see hypocrisy in our coworkers and our leaders. And boy, do we judge it. But I think we got to get the log out of our own eye. And that's what we're looking at today. Why? Because it's important to understand what's behind this negative connotation and this thing that we call hypocrisy, hypocrites. And then how is it that we're so susceptible to it? It's really important. And it's actually pretty simple. So I went and did some research. I went and did a bunch of research from psychology studies and experts. And so I'm going to share a couple things with you. And then I'm going to give you the four types of hypocrisy. I had some fun. I got out the pencil and I started going, all right, based on what I'm learning, and I'm learning, I'm not an expert, but I'm learning. And I'm reading a lot about this. And there's four types of hypocrites and you get to put yourself in one of those buckets. Uh-oh! Because I got news for you, we're all hypocrites, including you, Alex. And you're one of the nicest guys I know. But even you don't get away with this. All right, so here we go. So what do the experts say to answer the question, why are we, me, why am I, I'll make it personal, why am I a hypocrite, Alex? I'm going to tell you. Here's what the research says. It starts with making excuses for our shortcomings. It is a mechanism of excuse making. There's a difference between the way we judge our loved ones, and I'm going to keep it real for parents today. I'm going to keep the spouse thing out of it because that might really freak some of you out today and step all over your toes. So let's give a context of parenting, okay? So let me make this all personal to me because I am just as much a hypocrite as the rest of you, and so that way maybe you don't get as mad at me, okay? All right, so there's a difference between the way I judge my kids and the way I judge other kids. It's the truth. My kid can do something and it might irritate me. Another kid does it and I'm outraged. This is just a fact. And so, again, what's happening there? Excuse making. I'm making excuses for my kids. And so there's a little bit of hypocrisy there. Okay, now let's keep going. Here's what the experts say, and I'm kind of condensing this and synthesizing this, okay? Hypocrisy, let's define it. It is the practice of claiming to have a moral standard or a view that my own behavior does not live up to. It's that simple. I claim to say, this is what I believe. But I don't live what I believe. Very simple. We get that. Now, here's what it comes from. It's caused by an inflated sense of ego and self-righteousness combined with a lack of humility. Here's the expert saying more about this. It's a form of projection, a defense mechanism. In other words, I don't like this about me, but I see it in other people, and they're the bad guys. This comes from, experts say, not me, experts say this comes from our adolescent years, where essentially we begin this idea of projection. So a teenager does something in school, they get in trouble for it, and their first retort is, well, so-and-so did it too. And the idea here is, it's a defense mechanism to say, I don't have any personal responsibility for my actions because so-and-so did it, and so-and-so did it, and so-and-so did it. And so at the root of all of this, remember I said it's about excuse making? Then that means it's about fear and low self-esteem. I'm afraid, so I make an excuse. I don't feel very confident in myself, don't believe in myself, so I make an excuse. So what happens is the hypocrisy takes our eyes off of our own shortcomings and responsibility for those shortcomings, and then it puts it on somebody else. So that's what's going on. So let's go one level deeper. If you're following along, hypocrisy is a form of excuse making for the purpose of distracting my eyes and my attention off of my issues. But ultimately, I go one level deeper, and this is mind-blowing if you really grab this. It's out of the desire to be accepted. I'm good enough. And so when we don't think we're good enough, you know what we do? We find an object of our attention, another person, another organization. And you know what we do? We notice everything they're doing wrong to take our eyes off of us. So I had some fun with this. And so I think there's four types of hypocrisy. So I did all this reading. I thought, you know what? Let me just break this down. As I look at the world, I look at myself, I see there's four types or forms of hypocrisy. I want to walk through this really quickly. And I want you to be honest with yourself and go, do I see myself in this? Okay. So archetype number one, the politician. Bottom line is, talk, 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 campaign. This is what I'm going to do. Read my lips. No new taxes, right? And you show up, right? And come with me, Nathan. And another example is you'll show up at 8 a.m. You say you're going to be there at 8 a.m. You say you're going to be on time or whatever, and you don't, right? So it's either the politician, and it's just manifesting itself in that you just never do what you say you're going to do. And we all get that one. Just, we don't ever believe these politicians actually mean what they're going to say. Come on. You vote for the one, you hold your nose, and you hold for the one that, you vote for the one that's the least of the worst, right? It's like, okay, well, they're bad, but this one's not as bad. Second profile, the actor. This is where you pretend to possess a quality or belief that you know you don't to gain reward or to avoid punishment. So here's an example. Okay. You're at Thanksgiving and your grandparents are in the room and they're carrying on about politics or whatever they saw on such and such a show or channel, right? And you don't agree with them, but you're like, I don't want to fight with them. I don't want to upset my grandparents. So you just go into this full-on actor role, say what they want you to say, smile at what they want you to smile at, and you're just trying to make them happy, even though you could. Now, listen, that kind of hypocrite doesn't mean you're a bad person. But the idea is that we find ourselves at times going along with things just because we want reward. So this is the butt kisser at work. This is all, we see this all over the place. Now, the next one is the self-righteous critic. This is where they're always criticizing everybody else, pointing out everybody else's problems. And sometimes it's a knowing situation where they knowingly are trying to do it. Sometimes it's just become such a habit where you're just so unhappy with yourself that you must focus on how bad everybody else is. Oof. This is a really toxic hypocrite. And so an example would be the recovering alcoholic, right? Criticizing someone who is eating too much sweets. Are you kidding me? How can you get on somebody else's eating habits when you're struggling to stay dry? Come on, focus on your own game. And finally, the bandwagon fan. I had some fun coming up with this one. Now, the bandwagon fan is a sports reference. The idea that they just cheer for whoever the best team is. They don't really put a stake in the ground and say, this is my team. In other words, they have a certain value or belief, but it's just the bare minimum. They don't actually go to the games. They don't buy a ticket to the games. They don't buy the clothes. They don't really watch the games. They just kind of see the score and go, oh, yay, go Titans. That's our NFL team here, right? And the idea here is there's no skin in the game. They don't want to actually put the fandom or, in this example, beliefs into practice. So it could be the Christian who says they're a Christian, talks about how they believe in this and believe in God and the Bible or whatever, but they don't look like a Christian, act like a Christian, sound like a Christian, act like a Christian. And so people go, you call yourself a Christian? You're a hypocrite. And boy, do we see this a lot in Christendom. All right? So this is the idea. This is the whole idea. These are the types. Okay? So how do we overcome it? That's what we're going to talk about next. Now that we know what's at the root of it, and we've kind of talked about what it looks like, how do we fix it in our own lives? That's coming up.
Hey, I want you to stop right now and just listen to this. I want you to imagine life 4 months from now, but you're actually making a starting salary of $75,000. Bethel Tech has a front-end web development micro-credential that you can earn in just 15 weeks for only $5,000. Coding skills are in high demand right now, and you learn them in less than 4 months. So whether you want to level up your career and salary, or you've always wanted to be in tech, you can get started on Bethel Tech's front-end web development micro-credential or a data science micro-credential, another hot field. Now's the time. Let's go. The next class starts April 29th, and the Bethel Tech folks offer you 10% off because you're a Ken Coleman Show listener. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman for details. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, folks, welcome back. So what do we do about this hypocrisy issue? How do we get better at it? Now we understand what's at the source of it, and we've kind of got an idea of what it looks like. You know, how do we go about this idea of curbing the behavior, right? How do we curb the behavior? If you're serious about closing this hypocrisy gap in your own behavior, and again, reminder, I just want to be better at doing what I say I'm going to do. And if I change my ideas or change my actions around what I said I was going to do, I'm going to at least explain it. Okay, you know what? I said this. I was wrong. I'm not going to do that. Here's why. Now, that's not hypocrisy. That's character. Certainly in a leadership context. Hey, leaders, it's okay for you to stand up and say one thing and come back and change your mind. Okay. But you got to stand back up and go, I was wrong about this, and here's why. Now, this is Herbert Walker Bush. This is where he fell, because he stands up and says, read my lips, no new taxes. He doesn't leave any room for that at all. And so then his team talks him into it, and they go, well, we can explain it to the American people. Well, no, because the leadership lesson and the character lesson here is that when you put a stake in the ground like that, you don't give yourself room, right? So you got to be careful about in a leadership and an influential position to make a statement that you cannot live up to. So how do you begin to build trust with the people around you and remove that hypocritical action which erodes trust? So really important.
Number one, you've got to be aware and take inventory of what you say and how what you are saying and what you are doing changes in your life. So we have two basic environments, work life, home life. Home life would include friends and things like that. So you look at the two areas of your life, are you taking inventory of what I say and how much of that is coming out in what I do? You've got to identify, is there a gap where I am saying this but doing this? Now listen, this takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of guts to sit down with your wife, sit down with your kids, to the extent that they're old enough to understand and go, hey, you feel like I'm being consistent between what I say and what I do, doing this with friends? Because I would call this a blind spot. Because remember, back to what we were talking about earlier, if this is a source of excuse making, or I am coming up and I am trying to justify my actions and let myself off the hook, if that's what is at the source of this, then I've got to go, okay, I don't want to make excuses anymore. I want to get to the depths of, if this is about love and acceptance, self-love, self-acceptance, getting the acceptance of somebody else, and so I'm not willing to stand on principle and I will waver all for this over here, you got to be honest and get to the root of this. So that leads to the second action. You've got to ask people around you to hold you accountable. Give them permission to identify the gaps between what you're going to say, what you're saying you're doing, and what you are doing. So for instance, by the way, this doesn't always have to be heavy, but this is the key to personal and professional growth. So for instance, I started a new workout program recently. I haven't told you guys this, but I'm middle of week five, where thank you, Nathan. I appreciate that. Where I five straight weeks now, or well, I'm sorry, I'm middle of week five of a very comprehensive weightlifting. Not power building. I mean, look at this body. There's only so much I can put on this. I'm not Alex Hormozi, as Alex told me once, right? You remember that in the interview? I said, hey, if I worked out as hard as you, would my arms look like yours? And he looked at me. He was very fair. And he went, no. Do you remember that? It was hilarious. By the way, he was telling the truth. All right, so anyway, I'm doing weights. And so Damon, who is a coworker, my brand leader, he's the guy that is holding me accountable. And so I've set out a program I'm lifting weights 4 to 6 times a week. 4 is the minimum. I've done it 5 days a week for 5.5 weeks. Now, here's the deal. That extra thing of, I said I'm going to get serious about firming up the dad bod. And I know that's too much information for some of you. But I'm going to be 50 this year. And I thought, you know what? I used to be an athlete. I'm no longer an athlete. I'm too old to be an athlete. But I'll tell you this. I just need to get in shape. You know why? I read an article. A Huberman article that blew my mind. How much muscle we lose starting in our 30s. So 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Each decade, you lose muscle if you aren't building muscle. So in other words, if I'm not lifting weights, my muscle is atrophy. I'm literally losing muscle. So that freaked me out. So this isn't about looking good at the beach. This is about, can I age well? So here's the deal. I got to have someone in my life who's going to go, you said you were going to get serious about getting healthy. This is about health. And you're not doing it. What's wrong with you? Well, I had this dinner and then I had it. No, no excuses. All right, number three, avoid judging others at all costs. You will be judged by the standard you hold others to. So the more gracious you are toward the struggle of others, the more your hypocrisy lowers, because now all of a sudden I've got grace and I'm going, I'm not worried about what's wrong with everybody else. I need to focus on what's wrong with me. It's amazing how that happens. So avoid judging others at all costs. So couple other things that I jotted down, because I think those are the three tenets of how we begin to we begin to go, wait a second, I need to see where I'm being hypocritical and why. That was one. Two, I need to ask others to look in and go, you're not doing what you are saying. In other words, you're saying you have this value, but you're not living it. And number three, how about we just avoid judging others? Now, some of you, I'm going to bring up an objection some of you are probably having. It does not mean that I don't hold others accountable. It's just I'm not going to judge them, right? If I see a set of parents have a different set of rules for my for their kids and they associate with my kids, we see this all the time, right? I can find out one of my kids the other night is at a birthday party and there's stuff that the parents were allowing that I was not happy about. And I'll be honest with you, I judged them. I did. But the healthy response is to go, well, we're not going to do that and tell my kid why, which we did. And it wasn't anything, you know, crazy, but just I don't like it. And you know what I'm going to do? Is that they've got a different value system than I have. And there's reasons for their value system. And you know what? I got my own issues. So I'm going to focus on how Stacy and I can be better parents. A couple things. Couple little hacks, okay? Based on those three things. Here's a couple things I jotted down as extra. Here we go. Number one, just kind of ignore what everybody else is doing for a while. Maybe take 30 days and just ignore what everybody else is doing on Instagram, Facebook, or in your church, in your sports communities, or whatever it is you're doing. Just why don't you just kind of go, you know what? I'm going to ignore how everybody else is living and focus on how I'm living. Here's another thing. Be slow to criticize. Stop making promises you can't keep. Oh my word. You know how to fix this? Just stop saying yes to everything. In fact, somebody asks you to do something, before you actually say something, let your first answer be no. Hey, Ken, would you do this? My first answer needs to be no. I'm not going to say no, but I'm going, no. Now I need to run through the filter of what would need to be true for this to be a good yes for me. Overextending, overcommitting in our lives creates a lot of hypocrisy. And then finally, this is a little hack. Why don't you start laughing at yourself a little bit? Why don't you stop taking yourself so freaking serious? Because nobody cares. They're all worried about them. They're not worried about you. I think you'd see our hypocrisy drop a little. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.